Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Steph and this is the Don't Buy Her Flowers podcast. It's great to be back after a little break and I'm recording this at the end of term, what I think is going to be an emotional week as my eldest child leaves primary school. I've just found out they're singing One Direction's History at the Leavers Assembly and honestly, I'm a bit worried about how emotional I already got just listening to it in the kitchen this morning, let alone with a class of 11-year-olds singing it. They've got their whole future ahead of them. So I'm just imagining they might have to remove me when the wailing gets too much. Right, so we've got a few episodes lined up through the summer, something to plug in and enjoy when you're mid-summer chaos. But first up, it's Sarah Turner, aka the Unmumsy Mum. This was just lovely to record. I've known Sarah quite a few years and her success is incredible, but not surprising when you read her thoughts on motherhood or hear her talk. She's consistently authentic in a way that people often aren't when they reach that level of following. She's got a huge following and we talk about that, and we talk about the olden days of mummy blogging, how to survive the summer holidays, having three boys, vasectomies, being trolled for stopping breastfeeding. We even cover vagina rejuvenation. So there's lots covered. But she's always been very honest about finding motherhood hard in a way that I would say lots of people feel. But especially when she started, people weren't really talking about, hence her gaining this huge following. And I think she sounds like she's found some brilliant ways of managing overwhelm, including sharing the load with her partner who works part-time, taking social media breaks and lowering expectations, especially when it comes to holidays. She's very wise, but I don't think she actually realises she is. She's just kind of doing her thing and looking after her family. And this episode is kindly sponsored by spabreaks.com, who are currently running a Great British Spa sale, which is ideal for knackered people who might be listening to this podcast. Relaxing breaks here in the UK, so you can avoid all the travel hassle of going abroad. And Spa Breaks have negotiated a range of different special offers from different spas. So I'll run through all the information you need just a little later on in this episode. Right, back to Sarah, and we start by discussing how mad the end of term is. I feel peak rush hour is this end of term, the summer end of term. How are you doing?
Oh, do you know, I always feel like I'm doing okay until there'll be a tipping point. So the tipping point for me, it's come quite early in the summer. The tipping point for me last week was when, so we'd had, don't forget to buy disco tickets in the playground. Mm-hmm. So I needed to bring cash for that. Don't forget that there's PE, but they're doing a fun run and they need to wear a colourful T-shirt. So I'd kind of washed the normal PE kit, but didn't have the colourful T-shirt sorted. Then I think the finals draw was, it was all this kind of school admin. And then I was walking out the door, I recently rescued a cat that was trying to follow us to school. I was trying to bring the cat back in. And then Jude went, have you got a bottle from the recycling? This is at like 8:35. No, Jude, why would I have a bottle from the recycling? And he just turns to me and goes, for my rocket! Because apparently we'd had a note at some point that we needed to bring in a recycling. And it was just the final straw that day or week where, you know, there were a lot of expletives about recycling and rockets. And I always say this and I always feel like I'm a terrible person because I'm a big fan of all the effort that goes into the PTFA. Yes. But I'm always like, just let me give you a direct debit. Just let me give you like £10 a month. So that I don't have to bring in a pound on this day and 50p on this day. And you know, lamb's wool from Nazareth for the nativity on this day. Like, I haven't got time for it.
It's the volume of stuff. Like, at this, I've got two leavers because Buster's leaving year six.
No. Oh, yes. My God.
And Frank is leaving preschool to start. So I've got two things about uniform. And it shouldn't be that hard, right? You go, right, they need a couple of pairs of trousers and a couple of tops and a jumper. But my head is fried, so I'm just printing stuff off and going, I need to print it off. And Doug's like, why are you stressed now? It's still like 2 months away before they actually start at their new school. And she's like, I know, but that's my thing that's tipped me, because we've had, there's a singing concert, the leavers assembly, the play, and then we had an email last week for a skipping workshop being held this week. You're like, this is a piss take. This isn't even, they're like saying, how far before can we
take? They've made that up. That is it. That is a prank at this point. They're trolling you.
I don't even think teacher, because I've had messages from teachers when I've had a moan about it. And like, I'm totally with you. Like, it's an amazing thing that they're trying, like that the schools make all this effort, and they do so much more than when
we
were kids.
They are amazing.
Why in this last few weeks? And I've had teachers go, yeah, try being a parent and a teacher.
Yeah, no,
and you're just screwed. Yeah, like, how would you even do that?
But there is just always something, isn't there? And I think obviously if you've got more children and they span more than one school, it's just a lot of, don't forget this form, have you filled in this? There's a lot of me nodding, pretending like I know what's going on, when secretly I'm below the surface. I'm thinking, I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Buster's got a sleepover at his school this Thursday, which they told us about yesterday.
Nice.
Because it's year six, they were allowed to choose what they did for their leavers party.
Aww.
They wanted a sleepover. You're like, and they said yes? Like, so can you imagine how grim Friday and the weekend's going to be? They're not going to sleep.
No, of course they're not.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, no, it is a lot. It is a lot in that, you're right, the final term it's just relentless. It's a full-time job outside of, you know, your actual job and parenting.
So you've had three Sunday Times bestsellers. The first two were nonfiction and tied in with your Unmumsy Mum. But the last one came out in, was it March?
Yeah. So Stepping Up was book number four.
What have I missed?
So I had three Unmumsy Mum books. First one, the original, the OG.
Yeah.
The Unmumsy Mum Diary and the Unmumsy Mum A to Z.
Oh, yes.
And then Stepping Up came out in March. And I'm on a two book fiction contract.
I have to add in, it's brilliant. Like, it's a brilliant read. The characters are amazing. Is the second fiction going to be a sequel?
It's not. No, it's completely unrelated, standalone. So yeah, same. I'm kind of halfway through it. It's not that I'm being coy about what it's about. It's just that when I write books, I tend to really not know what they're about. It's loosely like a family-based drama, another kind of uplifting, hopefully funny novel. Yeah. But I'm about 45,000 words into it, and I don't really know where I'm going with it. This is just how it works. I pretend I plot. Apparently you're either a plotter or a pantser. You either plot or you fly by the seat of your pants.
Who was I listening to? Leanne Moriarty? She was saying she has no clue of the plot until she just writes it.
Yeah, that's like me. I think I've tried. I have all the gear and for plotting. So I get the post-its and the flip chart paper and then nothing, and no brainstorming that really occurs. I just like to get my highlighters out and go to Smith's, and then I actually just need to start writing it to work out what's gonna happen. But yeah, there will be a second novel. I've got to hand it in September, actually, the first draft. So
oh, good. So finish that while doing some holidays.
That on during the school holidays.
Oh, Sarah. How do you handle the summer holidays?
A little bit of crying. We are quite fortunate in that James works part time. So he does Monday, Tuesday, Friday and has Wednesdays and Thursdays off.
Nice.
So he will have, so Wednesdays and Thursdays in the summer, I will be able to work. So I will be able to get some writing done. But obviously that means, you know, that would exclude us from doing any actual kind of family stuff. So we'll probably have to squeeze in a bit of that as well.
to cover off all the school holidays, you'd have to take however many weeks of annual leave that you can't do and have a successful job, like the whole lot, probably.
No.
So you'd end up tag teaming it. And then you get to the end of the holidays and go, oh, we should probably have something like the five of us.
Should have done something together.
Yeah.
But also as well, like you'll probably feel like this. I feel a little bit more this summer, like I should be making the most of it before Wilf heads off to school in September. So it's kind of like, I sort of feel like we should definitely plan some stuff, but it's definitely a case of getting the calendar out and going, who's doing what day? And then at some point, is there going to, like in a, like a Venn diagram of parenting, is there going to be a point when we'll overlap and, you know, go to Thomas Land or something? Probably. But
I was doing something really extravagant just because you're like, oh, we've got, oh, shit, I haven't done anything. And we've spent 6 weeks like moving you from the sofa to the kitchen to the.
Yeah, we've just bought a trampoline. So I'm hoping that that's going to.
Well, hang on. You didn't just buy a trampoline. So the boys petitioned together. Look at that. Yeah. Look, you've succeeded. Teamwork.
I know.
They came to your proposals.
They decided that they would club together and form this like work. It was like a working group. It was like Project Trampoline. They had little meetings in the living room. And then Henry started WhatsApping James, like make some models. And it was like, hi, Dad, this is a, you know, moderate, what was it? Medium high quality trampoline, he put in his WhatsApp. This is a medium high quality trampoline. It's a little bit more expensive than the other one, but if you read the reviews, it's not difficult to see why. You know, kind of like, I mean, James were like, oh, because I always say, like, you know, do your research and then come back to us. And they actually did. They'd
did.
Like gone on.
You're screwed. Screwed now.
But I'm also hoping that we can use that in our favour over the summer when they're like, we're bored. I'm always like, I gave you brothers. I've given you a trampoline. That should
be. What else
do
you need?
What more do you want?
Do they generally get on?
Yeah, yes and no. So they get on really, really well until they don't. And when they don't, they get on, like, I think, probably informed by the love of wrestling, their fallings out are quite physical. It's quite commonplace for somebody to have a nosebleed because somebody else has kneed them in the face. And this level of like refereeing. I mean, I'm one of two girls, and growing up, might have been a bit of hair pulling and scratching.
Yeah.
I think I might even have bit my sister once, but that was about as crazy as it ever got. They are kind of, my boys are sort of dragging each other around. I'm having to, if it goes quiet, I know to run into the living room. I'm having to go like, not round his neck, as one of them sort of turning blue. It's like, well, he didn't tap out. No, he didn't tap out because he's nearly passed out. enough.
One of my brothers who works at Don't Buy Flowers, he's like 3 years apart in age, and we used to wrestle, and I remember like running, and I'd always run away from him, and he was older and bigger and was always like better at fighting, and I'd lock myself in the bathroom, but then he'd prowl like outside, so then I'd be like,
God.
Oh shit, I'm stuck in the like bathroom, like what am I gonna do now?
I'd say that sometimes it works in our favor because there's no kind of sulking, or they don't brood on like bad feelings or arguments for very long. They kind of physically fight it out, and then they get shouted at, and then everybody has a drink and a snack, and we sort of reset, and it's back to normal. So it's fine. But I spend a lot more of my life kind of shouting, don't do, and then insert like wrestling moves, like, you know, stop trying to stunner your brother. You know, don't choke slam him. You know, don't do this. But they do generally get on quite well. I find the dynamics quite weird. Not weird, but it's interesting with three, isn't it? Like if you take one out of the equation, how the other two get on.
Yeah.
They do. It does shift. If you take one out for the day, you know, one goes to a friend's, then the other two generally tend to get on better.
Yeah. And we've got youngest definitely prefers oldest. So it's that like admiration thing.
Yeah.
And maybe because they're both boys as well, I don't know, but it will be like Frank wants to be Buster.
Aww.
So, and he just thinks he's, you know, the bee's knees. So then you've got one that's left out and you're trying to, it is funny. Three is definitely Well, it's a lot, actually, Sarah, is what I, but when people go, how is three? I'll be like, oh, it's one too many, I think.
I always say that, and then I have to do that thing, you know, like,
oh, but not really.
You have to quickly caveat it with, but like, wouldn't change it for the world, obviously. But yeah, no, I told you, because James has had the snip, because I was absolutely not having any more, but it hasn't worked. I'm not pregnant. I mean, I think it's kind of a little bit worked. It was a really sad letter. The letter was the saddest thing I've ever read from the doctors, because it was basically like, dear Mr. Turner, you know, but following your post-vasectomy sample, which was brilliant in itself, because it had to be in the morning, and it was that morning that he was doing the school run, so he was like, I had to take that to the playground. Brilliant. He was like,
wait, what, he had to do the sample at home and take it with him?
Yeah, because he had to drop it off at the doctor's in the morning. But he
could
it was
he
like
not have his... done it at the doctor's, or is that not Doug had to do it at...
he had to crack one out at the doctor's.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. And I've said, I think I might have said this before, but there was a sign on the wall saying, if you require any assistance, please ring the bell. And it was like, what are they gonna do? Like, the nurse, a naughty nurse comes out, like, what?
Oh my god. No, James had to do it at home, but it was like a morning chaos at home.
Oh, that's not relaxing for doing that, is it?
Like, put it in his shorts pocket and pray to god it didn't fall out in the playground. Oh, morning.
Oh that's made me sweat just thinking about that.
But after all of that, the letter said it was like, basically, I think it has worked up to a point. Because it says...
Sorry, but that's not enough.
No, I know, but it says that there are occasional sperm present in the semen. And I was like, I mean, I know this is what we wanted, but that is also quite sad, isn't it? Occasional sperm, just the odd one. So he's got to do another sample at some point to check whether or not...
And then what? They might have to do the operation again.
This is the thing. James is like, I'm not doing it again. I'm not doing it again. I'm not having another one. So we'll have to rethink. Because he's like, it's taken this long to get him there to have it, to be fair. He's done it.
Yeah. I kind of
get it if he doesn't, you know.
As comedy value, though, the whole vasectomy thing is very funny.
It is brilliant. It is brilliant. But also you have to be, you know how you have to be so careful what you say in front of the kids? We were kind of talking about it, and then Wilf was saying, I think Wilf said to my mother-in-law, to James's mum, oh, daddy's balls are massive. And she was like, okay. And I was like, it's just because of like, this is just because of like the swelling. But you know, it's just kind of like when they're around for tea. How's everyone doing? Nothing off limits for chat when you've got kids around.
We'd had a weekend away and we dropped them at my sister-in-law's, and then we'd pick them up and we're on the way back, and the three of them are sitting in the back. And just that on its own is quite comedy, isn't it? When there's three of them sat in a row, it just feels like, that's quite a lot of you behind me. And then Bus was like, so, did you guys have sex? But Doug and I are like, I don't know how to answer that. Like, do we say yes?
Whatever.
Because that's a good... No, like on this weekend away where we left him with his... Like on a, so it's like he'd spied that it was a dirty weekend, you know, like, but does he need to know, is that a good thing? Probably, like, we should be open and honest, like, yes, we have, and it was great for our relationship. Us, no one wants to know that about their parents.
Yeah, I don't know. I say it's weird, isn't it? I feel like it would be a different question if the kids said to us, do you have sex? Then it would be like, yes, we do. But I wouldn't want them to pinpoint
been
when.
Away and,
do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yes.
And then they go into school. My mum and dad had sex this weekend. Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. The questions. Do you get a lot of that? Do you get a lot of questions about sex and stuff, or not really?
Yeah. Although Buster now, 11, I think, is just starting to go like, I don't really want to talk about this. Like, yeah. I will bring things up. And actually, like, we had a whole conversation about abortion the other day.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously heard things and seen things on the news.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, because I didn't know what he'd heard or seen, so I wanted to have that conversation. So suddenly you're going, oh God, I haven't even thought about how you talk to an 11-year-old about all these really like big things that also you want to be the, I guess, if you're relatively well researched in this stuff, you want to be the one to have that conversation rather than some dickhead in the playground, don't you?
Yeah.
But it's quite a lot.
Henry's year had like, it wasn't sex education, it was more like puberty education. They had like a changing bodies.
Next year he gets the thing. Sex stuff.
Great. I'll look forward to that. So they had this changing bodies thing, and they'd obviously said, the teachers had sort of said, you know, if you have any questions, and then said to the parents, if, you know, kids have any questions, then hopefully they can sort of ask you any questions about what they've seen or heard. And it was about kind of personal hygiene and periods and erections and all the rest of it. Yeah. Great. Like a bumper.
Which can I just bumper, say, yeah. Buster called Resurrections. He came home and said something about resurrection. I was like, no, Buster. Because I thought, I don't want you to get like pulled apart in the playground. I know, but then also you go, oh, but that was in year five. Yeah.
That's really sweet. So
it's kind of the same.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, yeah, I guess occasionally it is a bit of a resurrection. Yeah, they were like, the teacher said, if there's anything you have, any questions, but one of the kids in Henry's class took this as being, if you have any question, go home and ask your parents. So not about what they're just, not about periods or, you know, body odour or any of the stuff that they'd learned, but just like any question at all. So he went home and said to his mum, our school have said we should ask you any questions. Have you got any questions? And so he just went, what's a 69? And she was like, because they're at that age, you know, in the juniors where 60, they all laugh at 69. So they think 69's hilarious. I mean, to be honest, even at 35, somebody was telling me the other day that they were in the queue. Who was it? They're in the queue for McDonald's and their order number was 69 and everyone went, "Ray!" And it's like, you can't.
Surely they remove that from the list. Like Clarks, when you get the little tickets in Clarks, they wouldn't have a 69.
What, like removing 13 as a house number? I don't know. So we were all like gathered round in the playground. Like, so what did you tell him? She said, I said, ask your father. And I think the dad said, you know, something along the lines of, we'll come back to that, because they haven't even had like
sex
education yet. It's a little bit. It feels like a bit, you know,
it's a leap.
It's leaping ahead, isn't it? To go, well, but yeah, that just made me laugh so much when she was like, I thought he was going to say, you know, like, is it time for me to have deodorant? Or, but it was like, what's a 69?
It's that balance, isn't it? Because I think probably you and I follow loads of people on Instagram to try and be like more, have more understanding, and there's people who speak really openly about stuff, and it's like, and that's really good, but also the reality of when you're faced with three little kids looking at you, it's not as easy to just speak really freely or get it right, because a bit of you is embarrassed or giggly, or they're embarrassed or giggly, and it's but I kind of think that that's okay as well.
The most important thing is that you kind of make the effort to break that like cycle of stigma and shame. But even if you feel embarrassed, like you've kind of made progress on maybe like the generation before. Like with three boys, I have made an effort now that I know Henry's kind of started talking about it, I will mention like periods and stuff. Like I won't have like the horror when a tampon advert comes on telly. Like I now know that
everyone
Henry knows
freezing.
What that means.
yeah.
Although I have to say, Henry and Henry did have a giggle the other day, because one of the like tampon adverts came on and I said to Henry, I can tell you now, I said, I like, you go girls for the girls on these adverts. But why is it that on these adverts they're on their period and the first thing they do is like go ice skating, or you know, they do like an iron woman, or they do,
and the reality is you're probably either screaming at someone or lying down like wanting to just and eat carbs.
Like, absolutely they can do these things, but it just makes me laugh that it's like, you know, strength, power, let's have a and it's like somebody pirouetting on an ice rink, and I'm like, I wouldn't do that when I'm not
that's probably
bleeding.
The most of us don't do that.
It just made me up. I said to Henry, don't feel like doing any of this when I'm on my period, just sort of FYI. Isn't it trying to have those slightly more honest conversations? I mean, we have, most of our conversations are not period based. Most of our conversations are penis based in this house, because there are four penises. So that is just lots of chat.
We were on the tube. I took Frank for a lovely day of, we went to the Natural History Museum, which is always a big, it's not actually that fast, but it's really so lovely. And he's that perfect dinosaur age, like completely mesmerized. And Andy's clock, which was amazing. And then we're on the train on the way back and he started going, there's a salamander in my pants. There's a salamander in my, like a salamander is like a slippery looking lizard thing. You're like, where has that come from? And he's saying it really loudly and really clearly, and you're kind of like, do I join in wrestle him? I don't know.
There was a chant that they did at school that Henry used to do, then passed it down to Jude, who's passed it down to Wilf, and Wilf will kind of strut around singing conga, 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 make your wheelie longer. And I have to be like, not in the post office. Or no, what did I say the other day? We were in John Lewis and I was like, you can't do that in here. You know, we might be able, might go to another shop where that's appropriate, but have some respect. It's John Lewis. We don't do that in here. No, wrong crowd.
What about like disastrous trips out? What are you like, how bad has it got? What's been your worst disaster, like holiday disaster or day out disaster?
Holidays have been, there hasn't been like a standout disastrous moments, but we have had holidays where we've come home and James and I have looked at each other and gone, that wasn't a holiday.
Yeah.
And we paid for it.
Yeah.
And we're more stressed.
We looked forward to it. Yeah. Yeah.
And we might now get a divorce. So no. I can remember, like, when the kids were really small, we did a holiday in France. I think I was pregnant and Jude was really small, and Henry was kind of at the right age to take on holiday, but there was just quite a lot going on and I was feeling quite sick, and James drove, you know, it's always a bit tricky in it to adjust to driving abroad, and we had to drive to this farmhouse that we'd sort of rented, and It was just really fraught. He was going which way? And I do this thing, which is really unhelpful. But when I don't know where to go for directions, rather than being like ambiguous and going, oh, I don't know, I just go mute. I can't say anything. I'm like, I don't. So he's going, which way? Which way?
Not a good navigator.
And I just like, because I don't know. I said to him, there's no point. You could pick any exit off this roundabout. I don't know. So if I say to you second exit and it's wrong, you're going to blame me. So I just don't say anything because I don't know. So I don't know. I'm not adding anything to this navigation. I was feeling sick because I was pregnant. Henry and Jude were arguing, squabbling, needing a wee, hungry. It was too hot. They hated France. It was like, you know, this was within. And I do remember thinking, like, shall we just go back to the airport and see if we can get a flight home? Actually had a really nice holiday in the end.
It's an adjustment though, isn't it? It's an adjustment to what a holiday was pre-kids.
I do think that the sort of holidays that I like, I really like a holiday where you can, you know, get to see the area where you're staying and explore and all the rest of it. And as nice as all of that is, when you've got kids, kids just want all-inclusive, kids club, a little mini disco, to be able to make friends in the pool, to have that freedom to go up and get their own drinks because they're sort of on, you know, kid like coke and stuff's on tap. And they do. Kids always grow up on holiday, don't they? They sort of sashay around like they're actually... We were fortunate enough to like review like a villa holiday. It was like a three generational thing. So it was like, how do you get on if you take your parents, so the grandparents, on holiday with you as well to a villa? And good Lord, first of all, both sets of grandparents who went, we took them both sets of grandparents who got lost in their hire car. And we had to then go back for them, and they were lost. And they were going, we're outside a supermarket. This is in Portugal. Yeah, we were going, which supermarket? Oh, I don't know. So we had to go and rescue the grandparents. Yeah. At that point, I was thinking it's like having more extra children, but they're just like in their 60s to look after. And then you have to go to the supermarket and buy all the food and do all the washing up. And by about day three, I did think this is like, I'd rather just go and get my breakfast at we did Butlins with the kids and the kids absolutely loved it. We did like 3 or 4 days. James and I were like, this is all for the kids. It's not, you know, it's not our destination of choice. But I think James had said to me, we'll go to the Scarlet Spa next year. Okay. But we've just got to tackle Butlins. So it was like, fine. And we did. And the kids loved it. And actually there was a point, they have like the tribute acts, don't they? They had like Bruno Mars and Jess Glynn, but fake ones. 4 glasses of wine in, fake Bruno Mars could have been Bruno Mars. I was having the best time. It was like, and you don't have to drive very far.
And the kids are happy, so no one's crying on you.
Because that's their frames of reference now for holidays. You will often hear like Wilful go, yeah, I just want to go on holiday again. So when I go on holiday, I like to go to the Algarve or Butlins. I feel like it's quite a broad. That's it. But he's equally as happy with.
But this is what centre parks and places have basically built their whole thing, because it's not personally, you can give your own view. Like, we went to Centre Park. We only went once because it was out of term.
I've never been to Centre Parks.
It's so expensive. But it was out of term. But basically, by all the restaurants, there's a soft play.
Yeah.
So you can sit down, you can drink some mediocre wine or a gin with a slightly not too fizzy tonic, but your kids are entertained and they're nearby.
Yeah.
Like that, and that's it. And like the whole thing, you have to book everything. It's really structured. You have to book, but I guess that means you can plot around nap times. And
yeah.
So I feel like we're possibly coming out of that zone, but that's what holidays are in that period when they're small.
I will, hands held up, I can't talk about Centre Parks with a straight face ever since reading the Mum's Net thread about Centre Parks. Did you ever read that thread?
Oh God, no. Please tell me.
There was a Mum's Net thread about Centre Parks. I bet it's still there. And it was basically along the lines of, I asked my husband if we could go to Centre Parks and he was really up for it. And now we've got here and he's annoyed because he said that everybody knew that Centre Parks was code for having anal sex. And there's this whole thread. And there are a few people that are like, yeah, I've heard that as well. It was a bit like the penis beaker thread on Mum's Net where somebody said, do you dunk your penis?
That, just to explain, can you explain the penis beaker thread? Because not everyone might have heard of it.
Penis beaker, which is still there, because sadly I did Google this the other day, was,
research,
was a woman who started the thread, the conversation topic, do you dunk your penis? And it was about, she said that her husband had a post-sex clear-up station on the bedside table where after they'd both finished, he would dunk his penis in the beaker. It was, I think it was the fact that it was a beaker and not even a cup, because I kept imagining like a little IKEA one, you know, like on those little tiny plastic ones.
Like Minions, yeah.
like a Lego one that comes in a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, well, when I go to the toilet, he just needs to clean himself up. And everyone was like, what? Nobody else does that. Not one person.
Was there no one that said we do this too?
No. All it raised was questions. People were like, well, what if somebody accidentally drinks the beaker in the middle of the night?
Yeah, thirsty in the night. Oh.
Does it not create more mess with the sploshing? how clean is a dunk anyway? It was kind of like this whole thing. It was through looking at that one for something, I was writing about it, that I found the infamous, slightly less infamous, but also, in my opinion, the classic, about if somebody asks you whether or not you want to go to Centre Parks, are you inviting them to have anal sex?
I mean, that could lead to a lot of confusion.
It just makes me laugh now when somebody goes, oh, we're going to Centre Parks the weekend, and I have to be like, have fun, Jerry, or whoever it is, like whichever dad it is. So there we go. Lots of fun on Mum's Net over the years we've had, haven't we?
I'm just going to pause you there, Sarah, for a quick ad break. This episode is sponsored by SpaBreaks.com. So if you're interested in a spa break, like Sarah was after a holiday with the children, perhaps, here's what you need to know. They're offering up to 63% off, 2-for-1 spa days, free treatments, free gifts. There's even spa days from just £49 per person. I mean, it sounds ideal to plan in for the post-summer holidays when everyone's a bit weary. And they're offering an extra 10% discount to listeners of the Don't Buy Her Flowers podcast with the code SPA10. That's SPA10. More information can be found by searching Spa Breaks Great British Spa Escape, or there's a link in the details of this episode.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So blogging. So you started in 2013.
Yeah.
And yours is one of the biggest blogs. But I think I was thinking about it. When you were writing, that was before influencers. You kind of had celebrities and then you had bloggers. There wasn't anyone in between, right?
No.
You had a massive following. Everything that you posted went viral. But also there was this whole kind of network of people who were there going, how is she doing this? I want to be doing that. But you started because you felt like you'd been sold a bit of a lie about what motherhood was like. Like just to go back to what it originally was.
Yeah, I did. I started the blog in 2013. So I had Henry. He was about a year old. I'd gone back to work. Well, actually, I'd left the job that I'd done pre-Henry working in finance and taken a part-time job at the university. And it was a lovely job, but I wasn't feeling very inspired by it. And I was coming home and just finding that everything about motherhood was so much harder than I thought it would be. And I hadn't thought it would be easy. I wasn't one of those people that went into it thinking I'm going to be really good at this. I just thought it would be a little bit easier than what it was. Like I kept questioning myself all the time, thinking, do other people feel like this? Are other people thinking there's not much joy in this specific bit right now? And I looked online for stuff that would make me feel better, and everything that I found just made me feel worse.
Well, that was a time as well when there was a lot of people crafting and posting about it. Like it was almost sort of pre-influencer, but people were trying to get to that, like constructing a beautiful life.
Yeah, and they were beautiful. They were the beautiful blogs and beautiful pictures and portraits, and everything was black and white and everybody was wearing white. And there were lots of kind of, you know, lavender fields and...
There actually were. Like that, I can remember that regularly.
And I just remember thinking, like, you know, Henry and I were coming unstuck with one of us crying when we went to B&Q. Like there wasn't going to be a day out for a lavender fields photo shoot. So I sort of started writing about it. But yeah, you're right. It's really hard now to explain, I think, to people, because people are always like, it's a bit like, you know, going, oh, in my day. But people sort of, I think, assume that you have like your Instagram platform or your Facebook page or whatever, or Twitter, and then you kind of start writing from there. But the fact was I had a blog that I was sharing to no one for a while because I hadn't set up any of the social media pages. It was just the blog page, really poorly formatted, terrible quality images of, like, you know, just chaos at home. And yeah, I think the first blog post I wrote was called Other Mums Must Be Lying, which kind of gives you a insight into my headspace at the time. But yeah, it just took off. It just went mad. I mean, you remember what it was like. Like I would see you at events and stuff then, and I'd just be like, why is it going so crazy? Like, I just can't understand it. It's mad. Facebook especially.
Yeah, Facebook, because I mean, you've still got 700,000 followers on Facebook, like it's, and 400, like it's, they're such big numbers, which usually now to get to that, it's because somebody has been in a TV show or they're, you know, they do have that celebrity piece. So I remember we went to an event. So when we first physically met, we went to an event together and we shared a room and a bed, which didn't seem that weird at the time, but it is quite weird given that we'd not met. But I can remember us going, and there was this weird thing because people were jealous of you. But you have, I'm sure you have had trolls, right? And you've had the kind of, but you've kind of managed to not. And I think it's because you haven't been doing it in order to get a big following. That's not what you were doing. You were doing it to share and write and connect. And you love the connection, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like all of the, initially, it was all the comments and messages and stuff coming back.
Yeah.
Every time somebody said, oh, thanks so much for this, it's made me feel like less like I'm on my own or less like a, you know, massive failure at motherhood. They in turn made me feel better. And you're right, like I've never really had massive problems with trolls and stuff. There was a point when the Facebook page tipped to the point where it was getting so many shares that my blog posts were landing on the pages of people that didn't necessarily agree with what I was saying. And so that really safe bubble where everybody just went, you're great, this is brilliant, burst. And it was quite hard, isn't it? I used to be so defensive. Every time somebody says something vaguely critical of me or something that I'd written.
She clearly doesn't love her kids. She doesn't love her children. Why does she have them?
Oh, I know. If I had a pound for every time somebody had said, you know, oh, you don't know how lucky you are, or you don't deserve your kids or whatever, then yeah, I would be very wealthy. I have a love-hate relationship with social media. Even now, I think I have days when I absolutely love it and still really enjoy connecting with people. And then I have other days where I just think, you know, I'd take a dive into my DMs on Instagram and people are generally really nice, but sometimes it's like, it just feels quite intense. Like it will be, can you share this? I'll share a fundraising page and it'll be like, you shared this fundraising page. Yeah. Please, can you share this one? Why don't you care about this child? And then it will be like, you know, you shouldn't have bought a trampoline because your kids are going to break their leg. And then it will be like, why are you letting your children have squash? They should only have water or milk. It's really bad for their teeth.
And it's such a weird thing that people feel the need, not just the need, but that they think that that's okay. Like it's, because I think probably half the time these are normal people.
Yeah, I think, but that's why I find it harder, because it's not like a faceless troll account that they've set up just to be mean. It is like somebody in their living room that has gone, I really don't agree with this. But also, we got a rescue cat, and then I had somebody message me saying, please can you put a trigger warning on your stories if you're going to share your cat, because I've got a phobia of cats. And I just said to James, this is what it's like. I was like, it's every day.
What does James make of it? Because he's not really, I mean, he might be on social media, but he's not trying to be a dad influencer blogger person. What does he make of it?
He never really understood the like mad world of it until I set up our home renovation Instagram page. And James has got access to that. And actually, if I'm having like a break from social media or whatever, he will take over the Turner House project. So he will reply to messages and, you know, because it'll always be like, where's your decking from? Or and he will do that. And I think that was a real insight, because everybody has an opinion, especially on your house. I mean, people have more of an opinion on your house and decorating than they do on your parenting. Like, and actually, I think I've sometimes found that, like, you know, more hurtful, because you don't expect it. So it's like, well, you know, you can tell me that I'm a terrible parent, but how dare you message me to say you think my cushions are shit? Like,
I chose them. The parenting thing's kind of bumbling along in the background.
So I feel like I've finally made it as an adult, because we've just bought outdoor furniture and outdoor sofa set. It's never before happened. So I feel like, you know, it was a big day.
Yeah.
And I posted a picture of it on a Turner House account, and it's funny because I sort of know, I can kind of preempt what the reaction will be. So it wasn't gifted or discounted or anything, we bought it. At first glance, it's probably facing what people would say is not the right way around, because we haven't faced it, so you're facing out to the garden. But there's a very good reason for this, and it's all to do with where gets the sun. So we've positioned it for optimum tanning, reading, sitting with a glass of wine.
Because it's, course, your house and you're allowed to do it.
Because it's my fucking house, Steph. It was really weird, because I posted it and I actually said, I bet people will say, wow, that's round the wrong, your sofa's round the wrong way. And James was like, no, they won't. Like, it's not round the wrong way. It's round the right way because of the sun. And I was like, yeah, but they're not stood in our back garden, are they? So they're just going to look at it and kind of.
You have to point out, we have east, west, north.
I just posted it, went about my business for an hour or two, went back to check the comments. And sure enough,
yeah,
it was like, why is it facing that way? Why wouldn't you want to face around to the garden? And then other people commenting. And then like, I'm not joking. I must have had about 30 messages saying the same thing. Why on earth is it facing that way? And I was like, you're ruining my new sofa day, stop it.
Yeah, I just wanted to be grown up. When you were writing in 2013, 14, 15, those early years, you also had tiny babies, so yeah, you're really vulnerable at that point. So I would guess that you're thicker skin to
The funny side in everything now, like, yeah. I really do see the funny side in most things. And also I think sometimes people are just curious, like, you know. Well, I did reply to one woman about the sofas and said, oh yeah, they actually, you know, we don't get, if I put it the obvious way around, you won't actually get any sun on them. And she was like, oh yeah, well, that totally makes sense then, kind of thing. But in the early days of parenting blogging, you would get, you know, I had an awful time online, probably the worst ever, when I stopped breastfeeding Wilf. And he'd had a tongue tie, but it hadn't been picked up. We'd been to see the doctor a couple of times. It hadn't been picked up. In the end, I paid for somebody to come out and see him because I knew he had a tongue tie because Henry had one. And she came out and snipped it. And by that point, it was like he was feeding really badly. And I was like, I'm not going to, you know, there was a day I was stood in the kitchen and James was like, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? Am I going to Boots to buy some formula or not? And I was like, no. And he was like, okay. And I was like, but you will have to go and buy some formula. And he was sort of like, I don't know what to do. And I was kind of documenting this on stories to just sort of say, like, I feel really emotional about all of this. And I just had the most horrible messages from people that were like, I feel really sorry for your baby that you can't be bothered to continue to do what's best for him. You're throwing the towel in, like, it's a hurdle. He's got tongue tie. Loads of babies have tongue tie and manage. There's whole pages of support if you could be bothered. And my mental health was on the floor at this point.
Like, well, and Wilf was tricky, right? He cried a lot. I can remember that. Yeah. It was hard.
It was really hard. And I think I thought sharing my story would help. And I think it did.
It will have done.
I perhaps unwisely waded in. Sometimes it's terminology and it's things out of context. And I'd said fed is best. And actually what I meant in the context of what I said, the like wider piece of what I'd said was that, you know, I wasn't disputing that breast was best for baby, but sometimes what's best for mum is, you know, important. And so fed is best for, if you take into account everyone and everyone's experiences. And you know, it was just like emails of, we're so disappointed, we're a breastfeeding group, we're this. And I felt awful because I was like, that wasn't what I meant.
That's what becomes very weird when you have an account as big as yours, that it's your, and probably less so now because the kids are getting older and people don't have the same amount of opinions on kids as they get. I mean, they still have lots, but not to the same degree.
No, it's not the same.
But you're not responsible. And at the same time, you had three small children. So that's a lot.
I felt like I couldn't win because I'd documented that I'd done, you know, breastfeeding three times to varying degrees of success. But then when I had, as people contacted me to tell me, I'd thrown the towel in too early, I was being a bad role model to new mums. But then when I posted pictures of myself breastfeeding in the middle of the night, I had messages from mums saying, yeah, all right, we get it, you're breastfeeding. Every other post doesn't need to be a picture of you with your tits out. So you really couldn't win. The thing is, I liked getting them out because they were so good when I was breastfeeding. They were just brilliant.
And then three kids in, we're not packing. We're not packing.
Mine have gone. They're like PG tips tea bags after they've been strained. That's what my
every now and then now. Dog will go, oh, I think they're bouncing back. You know, like, I think it's hope rather than anything. They're not going to. I mean, unless I put on weight. So either way, shut up.
Even then, I find if you lose weight, it drops off your tits straight away. But that's not the first place it goes back on, is it?
Nope.
Like, I thank them every day for the job that they've done. But they are really quite sad and disappointing these days. But never mind.
I mean, you could probably get a boob job if you wanted one. Like, as what have you had any deals? Because there was also within that mix, there was a period where, and I had what 50,000 at the time, probably followers, compared to your 400, whatever.
Yeah.
But the money to from brands was mental. There was, I don't know what it's like now. And I got to a point where I was like, I don't think I can do this, because it just made me really uncomfortable, unless it was something that I genuinely had a connection with that brand. And I know everyone that does it says, oh, I would only post something that I really care about.
Yeah. I don't
not
know.
Really. If someone's offering you 20 grand, then it was crazy. My followers were a lot less than yours. But did you, because you don't do loads of that. You could have done, you could have made an absolute mint.
No, I turned down way more ads and brand campaigns than I say yes to. But, you know, also, I'll be honest, sometimes I'm, you know, the likelihood of me saying yes to a brand campaign is informed, yes, by whether or not I like the product and it's something I would use, but also by at that moment in time how much I need the money.
Need some cash.
Yeah. No, it is, because actually on book contracts, what I think people don't always understand is you know, you might get a fairly generous advance, but it might be split over, so you get it in three installments. So I might get, you know, a third on signing, a third on hardback publication, a third on paperback publication, or what have you. Those three installments could be, because I'm quite slow at churning, I don't churn a book out. It, you know, it's a bit of a process. So, you know, you might get a certain number of thousands of pounds, but it will be over, say, 3 or 4 years. Well, if you average what you're getting over those years, it's not. So I have something else to supplement. I am the main earner in our house. So I have, you know, done adverts to kind of boost that. But yeah, I have been offered some really funny ones over the time. Somebody offered me vaginal rejuvenation surgery once. And all I could think about, other than, I'm tempted.
Maybe.
was
what? Do you have to post a picture?
This is it. What do they want? A before and after? A little reel. I think this is pre-reels.
If I see you doing that, I might just drive down and be like, Sarah, I think
it's time. Sarah, even if it's going to help pay for your loft conversion, no one needs to see that. Let's not do it.
But you get people saying like, oh, how do you always have it so together? And how do you, and it's almost, I've seen it, I'm like, obviously going through some of your posts for this, and it's almost like, have you not read any of what she's saying? Because you're being really honest.
Yeah.
But I suppose you're doing it in a reflective way. So it looks calmer than it is.
Yeah, definitely.
But you're not pretending anything.
No, if I live streamed our day, I mean, it would definitely end up on the Mail Online sidebar of shame again. Mm. But I think it would just be, you know, I tend to not really post in the moment, and I'm more likely to, like you say, do a reflective, like, God, today was difficult and this is why.
Yeah, and it'd be like, I cried, and then people are going, wow, you always have it together, and you're like, you can't win.
No, because I was sat on a train crying. I was talking about this at an event recently where people were saying, like, do you think there's a possibility that it shifts? There's a danger of the pendulum almost swinging too far the other way. And I think we saw that with the honest parenting, mummy blogging scene, love calling it a scene, where on the mum blog scene, where I hands held up, I think there was a time when I'd recognised, having come from this place of complete authenticity where I was just writing about how I felt, I'd started to realise what worked, like what people wanted to hear. So, I mean, I wouldn't make up or fabricate stuff, but I would cherry pick the stuff that I would share. So, you know, if the kids really kicked off, as awful as it was in the moment, there'd be a little bit of me that would be thinking, this is going to be this is going to be a cracking post later.
I think it was probably just before I had Frank, where I did have my head turned by it a bit, because you've got all these people saying, oh, you're so great and you're so funny, or they're engaging, or, oh, thank you for saying what I've been feeling, and that. And that feels really good. And then you're offered money to post about something. And you kind of, I can remember Doug being like, this is a moment. We're having a family. This is a moment. Please don't record it, or please don't. And I wasn't in the centre of that world by any stretch.
No.
So I can't imagine, like, and if you've got the scale that you had, it'd be very hard not to have your head turned by it.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's just remembering to keep some stuff back for you. Like, I'm an oversharer by nature. Like, there's not a lot that's gone in, there's not a lot that hasn't gone into my books. But in terms of like pictures and family outings, and, you know, quite often if we go on holiday, I won't, you know, that will be when I'm offline. Like, I generally take a few weeks off Instagram in the summer. And we just exist without me having to think about posting.
We had Annie Mack on the podcast, and she was saying how you start to think in posts.
Yeah.
And you need to, and the only way to break that cycle is to probably completely come off it for a little bit, because otherwise it's just always there, which is weird.
Yeah. I remember when Wilf was born, and I took some time off. I think it took about 4 weeks off just to kind of exist in that bubble. And I took a picture of the boys, and I went to take a picture, and there was a tiny bit of my brain from, like, by this point, 7 years of blogging and influencing, that went, well, what's the point of taking this picture if no one's going to see it? As in, no one's going to see it. No, Sarah, people will see it, as in, like, your actual friends and family. You know, those people. So I think I do check myself at points and think, don't be like that. It does feel like, you know, not, you know, no book writing pun intended, but it does feel like the next chapter for me now. Mm-hmm. Now that I've done one novel and I'm doing another one, I always have this feeling throughout all the books that almost like my luck's going to run out and I'm just kind of making hay while the sun shines. But I've actually now got to a point where I'm like, I think this probably actually is my job. Like,
career. Yeah, I think
it might work out. Yeah, my dad, bless him. My dad always sends me links. Like, you could go on this. It's like, there's a Guardian course you can go on. It's how to make a success of being a writer. I'll send it to you. I'll WhatsApp app over. And I'm like, yeah. And then what was the other one? He said, oh, it was like an introduction to like editing or something. Because I'd said, you know, in another life, that might have been something that I'd enjoyed doing. But it's just really sweet. He's like, you could do this. There's an article. And I'm like, Dad, it's actually like not going too badly. I think we're doing all right. Yeah, but listen, give it a listen.
And what advice would you have for anyone who's staring down the summer holidays and they've got younger ones, they're where you were 3 years ago?
It's probably not going to sell like a parenting manual of a book if your biggest piece of parenting advice is lower the bar. And lower your expectations.
I think it's pretty key.
I think it's love, like, to doing like the trips and the holidays and stuff if you can, and you're in a position to do that, is amazing. I do think for me the worst kind of days usually end up being the days where we have really high expectations for them, and actually, you know, trying to find the joy in them. Like, if you have nice weather, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But like the low-key stuff, like, you know, trips to, it depends on ages obviously, but like trying to do something for everyone. So for us it might just be like, you know, a trip to feed the ducks and get an ice cream. Like, I'm not then going to plan other activities. Like, I've met parents where it's like, well, we'll do this in the morning and then we'll do this at lunchtime and then we'll do this.
We need one activity.
And I think, no, we've done one. That. We've taken some bread, although that was the other thing. I posted about taking bread to feed the ducks and somebody said, you can't give ducks. Somebody messaged me and said, you can't give ducks bread anymore. So I was like, okay.
Peas, isn't it? So
then, yeah, but then somebody else messaged me to say, well, no, actually, I think she said that because everybody was going, oh, we can't give ducks bread anymore, the poor little ducks were starving because they'd be better off with a bit of white hovis that doesn't fill them up than nothing. But no, rice, peas, uncooked rice, peas.
We were somewhere and someone was dishing out lettuce.
Yeah.
If I was a duck, I'd be well disappointed with that. Oh, look, what have they got?
Where's the baguette? Yeah, one day at a time, I always think. For us, that would be like, if we're going to split the day into sections, like, you get some fresh air. You know, my boys are like dogs. You genuinely do need to get them out and give them a run around so that they'll come home and get settled. They'll have a preposterous amount of screen time over the summer holidays. They will. I mean, there'll be trampoline bouncing and there'll be wrestling and there'll be football, but there will also be Minecraft and Fortnite and wall-to-wall TV on other days. And that's fine. That's just what you have to do. You know, and also we did lockdown. Like, I do think that, yeah, but I know. And my kids still do impressions of me the day that I quit homeschooling teaching. It's like a family favourite impression at tea time where one of them will stand up and just go, I'm not doing this anymore. 12 weeks I've had of this. So clearly that was the point at which I
12 weeks.
Snapped. Yeah.
God, little did you know, I've still got another year and a half of this.
I know. 12 weeks I've been doing this. I'm not doing it anymore. And then, of course, by about half an hour later, I was doing it some more. But yeah, they... I think now that's given me a slightly different sense of perspective.
Yeah, that's
true, actually.
It's not
actually as long, is it? It's not as long as what you...
I hadn't thought of that this summer. We've got 7 weeks. I don't know why, but our school breaking up slightly early.
Yeah.
I think because everyone buggers off that last week. So they've changed around the hot and gone, right, we'll finish a bit early. And 7 weeks is nothing.
You know, we'll have friends who will take their kids abroad twice. We'll have friends that will work for all of the 6 or 7 weeks of holidays. And we're kind of somewhere in between because James works part time. I am my own boss, but I am also supposed to be delivering a book the week the kids go back to school. So
same. It's like you kind of, everyone's like, oh, but you could be really flexible because you've got your own. You're like, yeah, I also have some responsibility to other people to make sure that I don't just piss off for the whole time.
I'm always really torn as well because I think I've posted about this before about saying I don't think that you can, mums or dads can kind of pick a side of like which side of parenting they're on. Like I feel like, you know, the press or maybe even social media sometimes makes you feel like you have to be one type of parent or the other and there's no like middle ground. But most of us actually sit somewhere in the middle, which is like we're really looking forward to spending time with our kids while also dreading it, like because of all the stuff. And I think that's, so I always really struggle when I see, you know, you get like the kind of posts that I don't think are posted to try and make people feel guilty, but you know where it's like, you only get 18 summers with your kids.
Or what, they're only, you've only got 4 years of them being a child or something. Like, wait, what? I mean, is that true? Because I feel like I'm still doing it and one of them's 11. So, yeah.
But it's really interesting because I think you can be somebody that goes, oh, fuck off when you see one of those posts. Also has to shut the door and have a little cry at the thought of your youngest going to school in September. Like you can feel all of the things all at once. So for me, I am looking forward to the summer. I am looking forward to spending time with the boys. I also know there are times when it's going to be a bloody nightmare. Like that's just, that's just, you know, and so maybe even this, you know, some days will be all of those things. It will go from being really nice to, oh
dreadful.
God, how, yeah.
Because you take August off social media. So is that like your way of almost resetting, dealing with the overwhelm of the rush hour and all this stuff?
It's lots of things. It's making sure that I'm a bit more present for the boys and I'm not glued to my phone. It's making sure that when I'm still having to write some words and meet my book deadline, that there's less chance of me clicking on videos of people's fails and falls and, you know, you'll never believe what this actress looks like now.
And you have to click through hundreds of pages.
And do you know what? They look exactly like you'd think they look now. That's the other thing. It's like, oh, you'll never believe what this actor looks like now. Well, he's 50. And do you know what he looks like? He looks like he's 50. I will watch anything to procrastinate on a deadline. My latest, I've excelled myself recently by watching a video about a TED talk about procrastination.
Brilliant.
So it's great, but to, you know, as a way of procrastinating. So
I think it's a good shout a month, like, or even just to, if you're on holiday, to have to come off.
Yeah.
We don't know how to deal with this. This is still quite new for everyone.
It's managing other people's expectations. So if they message me because they want me to, you know, they've got a book coming out and they'd like me to read the manuscript or something, it's my way of saying I'm not here right now. So then I don't feel panicked because I hate people thinking that I'm rude. Like it's a real thing I have where I'm like, I haven't replied and I feel really bad. But yeah, so it's just a way of going, right, okay, let's just have a bit of a reset and then come back in September. September will come back with a bang because we're going to watch WWE Clash at the Castle in Cardiff. Of course we are. and which, by the way, I had tickets to see McFly on that night. And I'm not going because I'm going to WWE Clash at the Castle. So that is the most symbolic. Like,
yes, people are going, she doesn't like her kids.
I know, but also I've really got into wrestling. Like I'm really enjoying it. I think it's because the kids are into so many things that I don't really, like I'll go and watch Henry play football, but I'm not interested in football. That's kind of like James likes football. That's his sort of domain. Wrestling, it's like it's on so much in the house. It was just a real, if you can't beat them, join them. So now I'm there. I'm like dancing to the entrance music, and I'm
pointy finger.
And I'm gonna get a t-shirt. I've already got one t-shirt. I'm gonna get another t-shirt for WWE Clash at the Castle. But yeah, there will be a bit of me that will just be like whispering some McFly songs. While watching the wrestling. So yeah, but just a few weeks off will be good.
Yeah. and then we'll be set for the school start. I've convinced myself that I'm totally fine with it, but everyone else isn't. So I'm like, oh, maybe I won't be. Aww. But we dug out all Buster's uniform. And it's these two, that made me more emotional. The fact that Buster, who's this big 11, getting hairy and smelly and all that, fit into these teeny tiny little V-neck jumpers. But Frank was very excited laying it out on the floor. And I've been like, he's just going to wander in, because Mabel did.
Yeah.
But Buster did not. Buster was like clinging on like a koala. So you don't know.
You don't know. I think Wilf will be. But Henry and Jude were both, King Wilf, Henry and Jude were both class criers for about the first half term. And I think Wilf will be the same.
I think that's a good point. Each phase like that, people going back to school, people starting school, or someone starting work and their kid going to nursery and stuff, you need about 6 weeks where everyone adjusts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you get people going, oh, it's dreadful, it's awful, or, oh, yeah, my kid's totally nailed it. It's like, give it 6 weeks.
And everybody's a bit jealous of the other because, you know, I can remember people being like, oh, you know, I feel like maybe my kid doesn't really even, they're not even fussed about leaving me because they just like potter straight in. And I remember thinking, well, you know, how dreadful for you, as a screaming Henry was like prized off me. But I sort of get it. There's nothing that feels, you know, more unnatural than leaving your child somewhere when they say they don't want to be there. Like, it's awful. Like, the number of mornings that I've just, it doesn't matter how many people say they'll be fine once you've left and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you know that,
but it's still awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm actually planning on getting the little, because we've been doing the whole draw a heart on your wrist.
Right.
So I draw a heart on my wrist, I draw a heart on Wilf's wrist. I did the same with Henry and Jude. And then on the walk to school, you charge up the hearts. So you charge up the hearts holding hands, and then they have enough charge for the day. It's got quite tricky in the era of like extra hand washing. I've taken to doing a Sharpie and making it a bit further up the wrist. But Wilf seems to take great comfort in that. So I think I'm going to get a tattoo. Okay. I think I'm going to do it.
Oh,
I'm going to get my first tattoo, and I'm going to get the little walk to school and nursery heart. So it's there as a little reminder.
Okay. And then when they're like stinky 30-year-olds, you'll be
when I'm dropping Henry at the nightclub, I'll be like, don't forget to charge your heart, Henry. Give it a quick charge. And he'll be like, Mum.
I was just lush to speak to you. And I'm interviewing you at Henley in September or October.
Yay!
So I'll see you in person.
Oh, I'm very much looking forward to that. Last time we were at Henley, we ended up in a photo with Mary Berry. Do you remember?
Yes, and Matt
Coyne. That was random. Yeah, dream team.
There you go. Massive thank you to Sarah. It genuinely brightened my week catching up with her, and it's just so lovely to speak to someone who's worked really hard and got where she wanted to be. I mean, she might be tempted by boob jobs and vagina rejuvenation, but I think she's pretty happy with her lot. And also, her book Stepping Up is out and an excellent summer read. I definitely recommend that. Thank you also to spabreaks.com. A link is to their great British spa sale, and information for that extra listener discount is in the notes to this episode. And the next episode we've got coming up with Natalie Lee, also known as Star Me Sunday. She's been on a massive journey of self-discovery about her body and sex and sexuality, and I've got some brilliant listener cues for her to answer, kind of agony aunt style. So please have a listen to that when it comes out. And if you want to get in touch, either find me on Instagram or email me podcast@don'tbuyherflowers.com. And I hope your end of term holidays, summer plans all go okay and everyone keeps their sanity. I don't know whether to tell you to get in the brace position or to breathe, but maybe a bit of both. And good luck.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.